All right. Thank you, Betty and Rain. God bless you. Great song. Well, why don't you take your Bible and turn to the last chapter in Proverbs, Proverbs 31. We're going to dismiss the junior church kids back to their program now. Yeah, I'm kind of glad Kinzer survived that near miss he had up here when he asked about women over 80, and then he turned and looked behind him. He got some looks back there. You know, and I want you to know that in the wisdom of having been your pastor for a number of years, I delegate things like that to Kinzer. Well, it's a good day, isn't it? Mother's Day, and it's the right thing to do, just to thank our Father for giving us these mothers and these women, these godly wives. We have a special gratitude for them and for every lady. We're just very much appreciative of them, and we need to say that and show that. I read this story about a little boy and girl that woke up on Mother's Day early, and they went into their mom's room, and they said, "Mom, want to do something special for you today? You just lay in bed." And they went into the kitchen, went out of the room, and in a little while, the lady was still laying there. She began to smell bacon coming through the house there, and she thought, "Well, I'm just looking forward to having this breakfast in bed that the kids are going to bring to me." And she waited, and they never did come in. She finally got up and walked into the kitchen. There's a little boy and a little girl sitting at the table eating breakfast. They said, "Mom, we wanted to do something special for you today. You didn't have to cook our breakfast." Now, sometimes kids can be thoughtful, can't they? There was a little boy at supper one night, and he asked his mother, he said, "Mom, are bugs good to eat?" She said, "Son, we don't want to talk about that at the dinner table." After they finished eating, she said, "Now, what was it you wanted to ask me?" He said, "Well, never mind now, Mom, but you had a bug in your soup, and now it's gone." They want to help, don't they? They want to try to make a contribution. God's book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, has some words to say about a mother and the help and the support we ought to give them and what they do for us and what they mean to us, a mother and a wife. And so I want us to read this passage, and we're just going to entitle this God's Beautiful Woman. It's found in Proverbs 31. We want to read from verses 10 to 31. Let's stand to our feet as we always do, just our way of showing reverence to the Word of God. "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark and provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." Be seated. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, God's Word says. You know, our society puts an incredible amount of emphasis on outward beauty, doesn't it? I mean, the beauty business is huge business. In 2019, Americans spent $49.2 billion buying beauty products. And there are all kinds of them, aren't there? They want to focus on the physical appearance, the outward beauty. And there are perfumes, there are makeup, there are potions and lotions and all kinds of things to do this and that, to take away the wrinkles, to make the skin look supple and smooth and give it the right shade. There's makeup that you buy and put on, and then there's more makeup that you buy to take off the makeup. I mean, it's almost a vicious cycle, isn't it? There's hair care, there's skin care, there is oral care, there's nail care, and there's a lot of stuff out there. But I want to tell you this morning what you already know. You don't have to be physically beautiful on the outside to be a beautiful woman in the eyes of God. And guys, God's attributes of beauty, they really don't have anything to do with these outward things. And God has some things to say about true beauty. So that's what I want us to delve into a little bit this morning as we think about God's beautiful woman. And I want us to hear what the husband has to say about God's beautiful woman. And I want us to hear what the children have to say about God's beautiful woman. And then I want us to hear what the woman has to say as well. All right, so let's just take right off here and first of all say something about what the husband says about this beautiful lady who is his wife. It was right there in verse 10 and following. A wife of noble character, who can find? The King James Version says, who can find a virtuous woman? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Now, here is a man who recognizes the infinite worth of his precious wife. How valuable is she? It's immeasurable how valuable she is. She is worth more than those valuable things that are seen in the eyes of the world. She's worth more than fine jewelry. She is of infinite worth. She is priceless. You can't even begin to calculate the value of this woman. He depends on her. It says that he has full confidence in her. She is faithful. She is reliable. She is consistent. It said in verse 12, she brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. A little bit further back in Proverbs 12, verse 4, it says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown. And he knows that. It says in Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. And then Proverbs 5:18, may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. I want to tell you, I'm rejoicing in mine. She is of immeasurable worth to me. Now here is this tribute to the virtuous woman in Proverbs 21. And there's more about what she means to her husband. Verse 23, here's what it says. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. If a man has a good reputation, the chances are really strong that there's a woman behind that man with a good reputation. She has helped him build that. And then it says in verse 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She brings strength. She brings dignity. She brings something priceless to a godly home. And then it says that she can add a sense of humor as well. In verses 28 and 29, it says, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Here's this guy, this husband. He is wise enough to know that God has given him a tremendous asset when God has given him this wife. She means so much to him. She means where would he be without her? I went to a funeral this week. It was on Wednesday, and it was a funeral of a pastor's wife. Russ Livers is the pastor at First Southern Baptist Church in Clarksville. He's a good guy. He loves Jesus, got a good church. I had the privilege of preaching in a revival for him once some years back. But his wife, Karen, passed away. She's only 62 years old, and it was a very difficult time. The church was full. Great tribute to her. And, you know, in a situation like that, you wonder, well, who would preach at the funeral of the pastor's wife? And the pastor who had been the pastor where she grew up and her family came and spoke at the service. But Russ, her husband, had given him some information The pastor said, tell me what's on your heart. Tell me some things that I can share. And so Russ wrote out these words about his wife, Karen, what she meant to him, and this process of her leaving and what it all meant to him. And I asked Russ, may I have your permission to read this to our people on Sunday, on Mother's Day? He said, yes. And so I want to read this to you, and I want to try to get through this. But here are the words that Russ wrote in tribute to his godly wife. These are just some things that came out of my heart and mind. She was my life. Our lives just melted together. We found each other while students at Western Kentucky University. I had my eye on her, and I will always remember the day we met when I was preaching as a substitute at her home church. I looked out across the congregation that day, and there she was, the girl I had seen on campus. The most beautiful girl I had seen and known, a beautiful girl with a faithful, sincere, and true heart, I would learn. To top it all off, her family was hosting the guest preacher that day for lunch. After lunch, Karen tried to excuse herself to get away from that situation. A friend of the family intervened and manipulated it so that I ended up going with her. That was fine with me, though contrary to Karen's plan. From there, our relationship grew and blossomed, and she became the wife of my youth, with whom I did rejoice all our days. She was my faithful and loving companion in every event, trial, and joy of life. To me, she was friend, confidant, counselor, prayer partner, lover, and what more can I say? My most intimate life partner, who loved me unwaveringly. While I was serious, she was fun-loving. She brought joy and happiness and festivity into our lives as a family. Discussing various plans we would be making, I would often say to her, "What do you think? You're the fun person in this family. We depend on you to make things fun." She celebrated even the smallest things and made them significant and memorable. She remembered your likes and dislikes and was always thinking about you and what would make you happy and comfortable and blessed. I learned you could never gift her with a gift card, because she would always spend it on something for you. Her presence in my life was always like a cool, refreshing breeze blowing through, constant, caring, loving, faithful, understanding. The proverb says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Whatever assignment we received in the ministry from the Lord, she was willing to do. If we discerned the Lord's leadership, then ready or not, most often not, she would go, trusting God to lead and provide for every need. He's always had us in way over our heads, but God has been faithful, and Karen's faith has been genuine and steadfast. I take great comfort today in knowing that she is at this moment cherished and embraced in the love of heaven and in the presence of God our Savior and the angels and all the heavenly host. She is loved and received and welcomed and fulfilled and joyful. Selfishly, however, I wish God could have done it some other way. I wish we could have walked further down the road together, hand in hand, heart to heart, in the joy and blessedness and sweetness of our lives together in God. Honestly, I do not understand this, but my mind goes to Jesus' prayer, "Not my will, but thine be done." And I trust and believe and confident hope that God always does all things well. If we could see this from God's perspective, we would see that his timing was perfect and right and good. In our loss and shock and sorrow and pain, it is difficult to have that perspective. Maybe he saved her from something far worse. Maybe her work was completed and it was time for her to go home. Maybe God is doing something through this way that could not be done in any other way. It is time to roll all our heart's sorrow on the Lord, casting all our care upon him. And he quotes Psalm 30, verse 5, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Now, Russ Livers gets it, okay? The author of Proverbs gets it, that a man needs to have a high regard for his wife. He needs to love her. He needs to commend her. He needs to support her. He needs to help her with her duties and responsibilities. He needs to compliment her regularly and consistently. He needs to brag about her to her kids, to their kids, to others. He needs to lift her up. He needs to appreciate her. And Russ gets it, doesn't he? And we need to get it too, don't we? We need to be more appreciative than we ever have been, and see these godly wives as a gift from God. Now, here's what the husband says about her, but I want us to make a second point here and see what the children say in tribute to this virtuous woman. Now, every mother's child ought to appreciate their mom. I mean, you wouldn't be here without her, right? Nobody's here without a mom. And she has sacrificed so much for you. She literally went into the valley of the shadow of death to give you life, didn't she? That's what she was willing to do, and that was just the start. I mean, there's been so much more. So she's priceless, and who can measure the sacrifices of a mother? Now, this inspired writer, moved by God, speaks of the diligence of the mother, speaks of her conscientious service. It said in verse 13, she works with eager hands. She is not lazy. She's a giver, not a taker. And we know a mom, you know, she'll go without sleep, won't she? Somebody said that that a mother can hear the cough of a baby through two closed doors, while her husband, he just lays there snoring and sleeping. He doesn't pick up on anything, but a mom's sensitive ear does. This wise observer in Proverbs 31, verse 15, says she gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family. She is cooking. She is cleaning. She is an Uber driver. She gives first aid to minor wounds and injuries, doesn't she? She just does so much more. She serves in a multitude of ways. Somebody said, what's the difference between Superman and a mother? The answer is, Superman is a superhero on occasion. A mother's a superhero all the time, isn't she? She is doing what God has her do, and she does it gladly and wonderfully. Verse 17 says, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. And then verse 18 adds, her lamp does not go out at night. She keeps her kids in clean clothes, doesn't she? You know, and yesteryear, moms would make those clothes. And verse 19 kind of makes that clear to us here. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. And then verse 21 adds, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. But you know, in addition to all these other things, that mom, she helps stretch the family dollars, doesn't she? It says here in verse 16, she considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. Verse 24 says she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She does her part to help make economic ends meet, doesn't she? She's doing so much. What a dynamic role. What a wonderful role she plays in the home. And it is a God-given role. And understand this. This idea of gender and the different sexes, it was God's idea, wasn't it? A man may want to do some manipulating, but it was God's idea. Mark chapter 10, verse 6, here's what Jesus said. In the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And men may have certain strengths, and we respect that. But I want to tell you, there are certain strengths that a woman has, the touch of a woman, the compassion of a woman, the testimony of a woman, the strength of a woman, she can have an invaluable influence in the home and on her children. And she sees her children as a gift from God, doesn't she? Psalm 127, verse 3 says, children are a reward from Him. And you know, as a mother can make such an investment in her kids. Some smart aleck made this statement, that a mother spends the first 2 years of her child's life teaching him to walk and talk, and then the next 16 years telling him to sit down and shut up. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think all the way a woman is shaping her children, isn't she? What a privilege she has, what a responsibility that she has. She has a huge role in their lives. She sees the tremendous potential that they have and that can be developed. Somebody said, winning kids comes from a winning mother. I think there's a lot of truth to that, don't you? Abraham Lincoln made this statement: I remember my mother's prayers, and they have followed me. They have clung to me all my life. All that I am and hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Well, centuries earlier, the writer of God's Proverbs said something very similar to that, didn't he? He said something about this woman who teaches and touches and shapes and prays for her children. What did he say? She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. So what does the appreciative son or daughter say? They say, God, thank you. Thanks for my mother. Thank you for the work she's done, how she's poured herself into me, the sacrifices she made, what she's done without so I wouldn't have to do without. Thank you for my mother. And then the wise son or daughter says, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mom, for all you've done, what you've meant to me. And forgive me for the times I've disappointed you or let you down. But may I be my best in order to bring tribute to you. Now, we've said something here about this chapter and what the husband says and what her children says about God's beautiful woman. What does she have to say about this? What kind of role does she play? What's her remark and statement on this situation she's in? Well, she has it in her heart that she wants to take good care of her family, doesn't she? Verse 21, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She wants to set a godly example for them. Verse 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She wants life to be enjoyable for them. It says in verse 25, she can laugh at the days to come. She conveys truths of life to her kids and to her grandchildren. Verse 26, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. And she's certainly an asset to her husband. We read that at the start of this passage. A wife of noble character who can find. She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And then this exceptional woman, I mean, she not only has a heart for her family, but it goes beyond her family. It said in verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. This is a woman of compassion. Now, here's a picture of the ideal woman, okay? The ideal woman. Now, some of you ladies might be sitting here and say, well, I don't know, I don't always measure up to that. Let me tell you something. The ideal woman is not perfect, and nobody's perfect. No man is perfect. No woman is perfect. We don't bat 1,000, okay? We're not perfect like that. And this is the ideal. And I'm going to tell you, you may not cook like Paula Deen. You may not have the figure and looks of Miss America, okay? And sometimes your house is a mess. But I'm going to tell you, those are not the things that really matter most. The things that matter most are the heart and soul and that relationship with God. That's what matters most. And you know, no woman's going to be perfect. There were some second graders that were asked some questions. And one of the questions was, what would it take for your mom to be perfect? One little second grader said, I think plastic surgery could help on the outside. But on the inside, she's already perfect. It's what matters on the inside that counts, isn't it? It's the heart and the soul and the relationship with God and knowing and walking with Him. Now, that's the relationship that a mom and a woman needs to be the ideal mom and woman, okay? But this goes farther than womanhood. Farther than Mother's Day, farther than gender. It goes to everybody, isn't it? This is what we all need, this relationship with God, to be truly wise and to be in His will. Now, haven't all of us sinned and dropped the ball somewhere along the way? We have, haven't we? And doesn't God's Word say that where there's sin, there is separation from God who is holy? It does say that, doesn't it? And does Does God's word offer any way we could do enough good things to work our way back into his good graces? It doesn't, does it? I mean, there's not anything we can do to earn God's favor and get into heaven and undo all the messes we've done, and we've made messes, haven't we? I say we, I mean me, and I mean you. Now, God's the judge, and we stand before him. I stand before him as a guilty sinner. I plead guilty. I have to. And there's no defense for me. And I plead guilty, and God is about to sentence me for my sins. But Jesus, God's Son, steps up and volunteers to take upon himself the punishment I deserve for my sins. And he's willing to give it all, his whole life. He's willing to take the death penalty for me. Would God accept what Jesus did, becoming my substitute, dying in my place? God would accept that. And that way the righteous indignation of God has been satisfied. The judge still had to punish the guilty party. But me, the guilty party, we, the guilty parties, can be pardoned because the guiltless Son of God offered to take our place. Now, there are some people who say, well, you know, I'm really not into this Jesus business, and this idea of I need to be saved and I need to turn my whole life over to him. It's kind of my life, you know. I want to do my thing out here. But I do think that when I stand before God, when I die, I think that God will surely look at me and say, well, you know, you did a little good stuff down here. You helped some little old ladies across the street. You donated blood to the Red Cross. You gave money to the United Way. I guess maybe we'll let you in. Don't think that. You see, if God said it took the blood sacrifice of his perfect Son, do you think your measly good works could get that done? The Bible says our good works are like a dirty rag. That's what it says. So let me just ask you this. Do you think Jesus would have went through all that torture and torment, all that shame and humiliation, all that indescribable agony to be hung on a splintery cross if you could get saved in any other way? I mean, if there was any other way people could be saved, Jesus would have been foolish to go to the cross. But there was no other way, and he did go to the cross. And so if that's the only door in, don't think there's another door for you. But the door is Jesus. And I want to tell you, he knocks on the door of your heart, and he says, if you'll open the door, he'll come in. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man or woman or boy or girl will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him. I'll dine with him and he with me. You know, if you'll come into him, you're going to get complete and total forgiveness of all your sins, just like it never happened in his eyes. You are going to have his Holy Spirit come to live right there on the inside of you to boost you, to bolster you, to encourage you, to comfort you, to give you insight and help and wisdom. And then when you die, as you will, as I will, we've got a place to go. We've got ironclad reservations. But I'm going to tell you, if you slam the door shut on this offer of grace and mercy from God, if you say, no Jesus for me, or maybe one of these days I'll get around to that, let me tell you, you may not have one of these days, but you have today. But if you say no to him and you leave this life in that condition, you're done for. I mean to tell you, for all time and eternity, you'll be separated from God. You'll be separated from everything that's good. You'll be separated from loved ones who love Jesus, who go there, but you won't go there, and you'll never see them again. That's how serious this is, all right? And so, is it right to get right with God by his plan? It is. And is it right to do that immediately? It is, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thanks for Jesus, who took our place so we could be the people you want us to be. God, that sure applies to wives and mothers, and thank you for them. Thank you for the tremendous responsibilities they have, but how they're willing to shoulder that. God, would you give them everything they need to be all you want them to be? But God, this invitation is for all. whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, if there's somebody that's made that decision, I want to be a follower of Christ, I've decided to follow Jesus, and they haven't gone public with that yet, I'm praying that they're going to step out of their place and come down that aisle and share that decision with us this morning. You've said in your word that we can't be ashamed of you. There's something about a public commitment that honors you, that shames the devil, and that encourages God's church and gives it what it needs. Father, I'm praying those who need to follow Jesus will step out and do that, whether it's to come and pray today to receive him, or they've already done that. Maybe somebody here needs to make this their church home, God. Move the membership here. Whatever it is you want done today is what we want done. So help us step up and step out and do exactly what we should without delay. And we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand.